It's from Philippians 3, verses 7 to 16. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray as we sit. God, our Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that by your Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. And we do pray as we open your word that you would speak by your Spirit, not just to our minds, but speak to our hearts and speak to our wills, we pray. In his name, amen. It's very good to be with you today. Alwyn, thank you very much for your welcome. And of course, it is sad to be with you in the sad circumstances that we meet of these last few weeks. But I want to, on behalf of the diocese, thank you for your prayers and your love, which I know have meant so much to Kate and the boys. And in our turn, to say that many people across the diocese are praying, yes, for Kate and for Ben and Connor and Johnny, but also for you as a family here. We are walking with you. We're here with you in this moment, in these weeks, but also as in God's timing, we go forward into the next chapter of what God has purposed and planned for this wonderful church. And as your archdeacon, it's a real privilege to be part of that journey with you. I guess we have all been really shocked by Trevor's death. I was with him twice, actually, both here. On the night before he died, we were here talking about his great plans for Holy Trinity. And then we had a very wonderful meeting over at the PCC at St. Richard's Ham, which, as you know, has been gone through some difficulties. And in both those meetings, I couldn't help but be moved by Trevor's passion and his vision, and just his whole sense of what God was about, not just in this parish, but in the deanery, and especially in some of the exciting plans for Ham. But I think also what struck me about Trevor, it wasn't always in any way about him, and I think you all know that. It was so much about God and about the church and God's mission in the world. And so we have been stunned, as you have, I'm sure, were, to just get completely out of the blue the news that Trevor had died. And it's hard to think of the question I guess we often ask is why? And there aren't any obvious answers to that question. But talking with Kate and with others, it's been so equally obvious that God is with us in this journey. God is with us in the dark times, in the sad times, in the questioning times. And there are so many incidents that you will know where you have seen that, not least in the love of each other and the prayers of each other. When I saw Kate yesterday, she was sharing with me the tweet that Jake Humphrey, you probably all seen it, or many of you seen it, who went to the service on Monday. He's the BBC sports commentator, tweeted this: struggling to make sense of how the saddest and most painful day of my week was also the most inspiring and uplifting, talking about Trevor's memorial service just this last Monday afternoon. And we get something of that. Why is it? In that deepest moment of grief and sadness, we also have a sense of hope and uplifting. It is because God is there. God is with us. God lifts us. God is present and always redeeming and restoring the difficult times. And equally, I want to say that there is so much to say thank you to God for in the gift that is Trevor, to each one of us, to me, somebody I owe. Even in the 2 years that I knew Trevor, I learned so much from him and loved working with him. And that gift lives in me. And you, in each of your own ways, will know that. And the one thing I want to suggest this morning is that we can turn that sense of thanksgiving and celebration into our own determination and recommitment to follow Trevor's example in our love and discipleship of Jesus Christ. And the reading we've just heard read to us from Philippians 3, I share with you this morning because on the evening of that Wednesday when we'd heard the awful news of Trevor's death, when we sat down in the Kingston office to say evening prayer together, this was the reading that was set. And it just seemed to me so deeply and powerfully to speak of who Trevor is for us. Paul, writing here in Philippians 3, going to the heart of it all, the gospel, not just a little message that we trot out, but for Paul, the gospel was the good news of a living encounter with Christ. That's what turned Paul's life upside down on the road to Damascus. Yes, there was a blinding light and a voice, but it wasn't just the drama of that. It was that in that he encountered Jesus Christ, the one he thought had been cursed by God and killed and dead and buried, he discovered was alive. And that blew his mind and turned everything for him upside down. And so in this letter to the Philippians, as in many of his letters, he keeps going back to that gospel, the radical gospel. Three words to share with you from this passage. And the first is gift. Paul says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. Paul had been brought up to believe that you would win God's approval, you would win God's love by who you were, and not least by a sense of status that you had before God. And for Paul, as he often writes, and he writes earlier in the chapter, for him that was vital. That's who he was. Not just a Jew, but the very, very best Jew there could be. Not just religious, but the most wonderfully, perfectly religious person you could be. Full of zeal, as for legalistic righteousness, he says, faultless. And then on the road to Damascus, in that encounter with Jesus Christ, he discovers that all that is turned on its head. He discovers that God's approval is not earned or won or deserved, but that it is simply a gift. That God loves us as a gift. And that as God loves us, so we are made more worthy, so we are made changed. And it's a wonderful, wonderful gift. I was at a lecture recently on the Reformation where Professor Barclay from Durham was talking about Paul and Luther and made this point of how radical this was, that our worth comes simply as a gift of God. That God's love sees what we can be and enables that to happen. So because of Christ, we see ourselves differently, and we see one another differently. That's what Paul got, and that's why Paul got so angry when people like Peter seemed to fall back into the old ways of judging people by their status or in so many other ways. In the church, in the family of Christ, we are radically different. We simply see each other as those who by gift are loved. I think that's something that Trevor had really grasped. Kate, when I saw her yesterday, was telling me about one of the people who'd come to decorate their house and drove 200 miles to come to Trevor's memorial service. Because he had encountered in their home that sense of simple acceptance. Someone for whom God's love is just a gift. And one of the things perhaps we can do is ensure in this church, in all our churches, that we don't slip back into ways of judging people by status or who they are or what they look like or how they behave, but simply see as God sees. That gift of love. Second word, and that is hope. Verses 10. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Hope. The world is pretty grim, isn't it? We may live in quite a wonderfully protected part of the world, but when you stop to think about all the mess, whether it's in Yemen or the threat of war in Korea, or even in our so-called civilized society by some of the things that are coming out about Grenfell Towers or whatever it is, it can be that we can despair about the direction of our world. But as Christians, we don't just see each other differently, but we see the world differently because of the resurrection. For Paul, it wasn't simply that he met Christ on the road to Damascus, but he met the risen Christ. He met the one who he had thought was dead, cursed by God, someone who'd got it wrong. But he met him alive. And he began to see that the cross wasn't failure but victory. That the life of Christ wasn't weakness but strength. And that that way of love was not foolishness but God's true wisdom. We have hope because in the resurrection of Christ, in the knowledge that that one who lived that way of life and love is alive, that the way of love and forgiveness and so-called weakness for us becomes the way of life, not just for us, but the whole humanity and creation. So Christians are not marked by despair or by anxiety or by cynicism, but by hope. Because we know that in Christ all will be renewed and restored. Hope for us in our lives, not fearful of what will happen. Hope for the church. We're not anxious about growth and all those stats that keep coming out because we know it's in God's hands. Hope for the world, most of all, because we know God holds it in his hands. We see the world differently. And finally, and more briefly, a third word just to share with you, and that is purpose. Paul said this, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. It's a race. A goal, a calling. We don't just see each other differently and ourselves differently. We see the world differently, but we also see life differently. Trevor, as you know, loved his running. And I always treasure those wonderful pictures of him out there in the park. But I think that was just true for his whole life as well. For his ministry, as his faith, he had that real sense of, like Paul, running a race. Sometimes we can think of the resurrection and eternal life and heaven as simply a way of escaping from all the mess of this world, but that would be to misunderstand it. For Paul, the race is not to run away from the world, but the race was to say, let us bring about this new creation that God is bringing in. Let us be part of what God is doing. He writes in Romans about the church being the first fruits of what God is doing, so that the world will see this new creation that awaits it. That's the race, not a race away from the world, but a race with the world to that new hope that God is bringing in. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. So we know that heaven will be a place of justice, which is why you here particularly run that race seeking justice in so many ways in this community and in Uganda and many other places. We know that that new heaven is a place where all are embraced in God's love, where there is a wonderful diversity. And so in the church, we seek to live that out. Already live in that community where barriers are broken down. That's what the church is about. Yes, with all its faults and failings and its brokenness, to be an expression of that resurrection, of that hope, of that gift. Paul says, I run the race. And I encourage us all to follow Trevor's example in running the race that God gives to us individually as disciples, but also that he gives to this Church of Holy Trinity here in Richmond. Run it through our love. Run it through our prayers. Run it through our giving, our actions. Trevor's ministry here, I believe, for those 19 years, has been an amazing gift, not just to the congregation, but to the parish, and through his work as area dean, through the wider community of Richmond and Barnes. And it lives on in us, that wonderful gift. We take hold of his love and his passion, his vision and energy. But he would be the first to say it's Christ. He would be the first to point us to rediscover Christ in our lives. Christ, who is the radical gift of the love that gives us our true worth. Christ, who is the one who brings that transforming hope in all we are and in this world. And Christ, who is the race that we're called to run. I'm just going to finish with the prayer. I'm sure you have seen it and read it, that Trevor wrote in his journal. The last thing he wrote in his journal. Let's make it our prayer. Lord, thank you that you live within me. May your amazing grace flow out of everything I do. Fill me today with the knowledge of your extravagant love and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.